There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2016 coverage. Host Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Get daily interview, roundtable discussion, all the latest gaming coverage, developer interviews, and latest news from the crew.
A Gamertag Radio exclusive.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Here we go.
E3 2016 coverage starts now.
All right, we're back here at GamertagRadio.com, live from E3 2016, and this time we're going to talk about the new Ghost Recon game. And let's start with Pete. Pete, I know you've been the one that's been talking about this game for a very long time. This is the first time that you play the game. Your thoughts about Ghost Recon?
Wow.
He's done, Paris.
That's
he's
it. Good. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think I expected Ghost Recon gameplay. Because Ghost Recon, and for the most part, that whole Tom Clancy slew of games, has a specific game style.
Yes.
And it almost feels like Ubisoft threw that out the window and said, no, we're going to start fresh, start brand new, clean slate. We're going to throw away the old guard, the old concept and thought of what a Ghost Recon game would be, mm-hmm. and kind of flipped it. I like what I saw. We're talking, and I think you guys actually got a better chance at more of the game mechanics. Mm-hmm. I came in pretty much afterwards on a mop-up match. and the rest of it, and the people that were playing in our team was like, yeah, we want to go in dirty. We want to go in hard and fast. We don't want to worry about stealth or anything like that. We just want to see what happens when the poop hits the fan. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
But one of the things we really got to talk about, guys, the listeners out there that haven't seen this, during the presentation, they mentioned a couple of things. This is one of the biggest worlds, open world, ever for Ubisoft. That's one thing. You could start playing the game either solo or co-op, up to four players from start to finish if you want, right when you start with the game. Also, depending on the choices that you made in the game, that also affects the story, and the game could even get more difficult and everything too. So I know a lot of people might say this could be like the same thing as The Division. This is a totally, in my opinion, a totally different type of game compared to The Division. This is a better game, in my opinion, I think.
Well, I think the consensus is a discontent with what The Division should have been or could have been, and what the consumers have received. I know Paris has been a strong anti-proponent for the game. I've been drinking the Kool-Aid for months now. I admit it. I still play it on occasion. I don't know, Paris. I need more feedback from you. Like, because I know you've been hard on the division. Talk to me.
This isn't about the division, because as I told you before launch, the division was going to have issues, and it did. This is about Ghost Recon. Playing that demo, I had the opposite feeling that I had playing the division demo. And that soon as we jumped in and started playing and went on that mission, I'm like, I freaking get this. I dig this. I get what they're trying to do with this open world and the freedom of your squad tackling whatever objective you want at any time, any way that you want. I think that's the beauty of what I saw about this game, is that, you know, if you get three of your buddies together and you guys are a crack squad, you can create these various strategies and scenarios that you want to tackle and experiment with them and, you know, just see what works, see what doesn't, you know, and just have fun as a team, which as a gamer, I'm finding myself going more to those co-op experiences. I'm finding that's the type of thing I like to do. That's why I keep playing Destiny so damn much, because I like doing all the co-op stuff in it, right? So I was digging it. I think this is absolutely what I want to see from a Ghost Recon game. And the highlight for me was when we got in the helicopter and we went up high, and then we're looking at all of Bolivia, that whatever this fictional land of Bolivia is. And I'm like, holy crap, this is huge. And the fact that there's 11 different environments within this open world that you'll experience. I think real-time weather too, right? Didn't they say that?
I wasn't there for the presentation, so I don't know.
I believe there's real-time weather. I could be wrong on that, so I apologize if I'm wrong. But I believe there's real-time weather effects as well. The AI characters act independently of what you're doing. They're doing their own thing in the NPCs within the world. Yeah, I'm excited for it. If anything, when I saw that it was coming out March, I got sad. I'm like, I want to play it now.
So I want to ask the same question that turned you off onto the other game. Do you see longevity? Do you see
that is still
the end game? And I know that was, like you said, I know that was your big concern with the division.
But the difference with Ghost Recon versus the division, or even something like, excuse me, a Destiny, I'm getting tired, is they're geared towards that end game loot. You're doing these things to get loot, whereas something like Ghost Recon,
it's just an objective.
It's an objective to take out a target. And how can you take out that a target? What's the most effective way you can take that target out or finish that objective? I think that's the big difference. Now, you could burn through all that content of objectives and there's nothing left to do, which means the developer, again, is going to need to support it with new things to do within that world. You could say the same thing about that open world. Because to me, this is Grand Theft Auto, but you're doing it with a co-op squad. That's what this felt like to me. You know, that's what this open world felt like. It felt like something you would get in a Grand Theft Auto mod. You know what I mean? So it really just comes down to, can the developers support this game with further DLC to keep these objectives fun versus where to loot? You know, because that was my big thing with the division. Where to loot at? Where, you know, and again, I don't want to make this a division Destiny thing, but that, I think that's the biggest difference.
I think it's really early on too. I mean, they're still going to need to unveil some more, you know, features of the game, you know, gameplay, game styles, game types. You know, I mean, it's Ghost Recon, so I'm assuming there's going to be a multiplayer component that we haven't seen. But yeah, I guess that's going to be the difference between the two. And it looks promising.
We're going to play the interview about Ghost Recon right now. And once we come back, we have a couple final words about the game. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hey, this is Paris. We're at E3 2016, and we just got a chance to check out Ghost Recon Wildlands. So who better to get us to tell us about it. Can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Dominic Butler. I'm the lead game designer for Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Yeah, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to
us. Thanks
for
coming to see us.
We just went through the demo.
Great.
And it blew me away. So before we get into that.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about the game.
So, okay, the pitch is simple. This Ghost Recon Wildlands is the first military shooter set in a massive and dangerous open world that you can play entirely in solo or in up to four-player co-op. It's set in Bolivia in the near future, where a Mexican drug cartel, you know, kind of what-if situation, have moved into Bolivia. They've taken over the entire place. They've turned it into a narco state. And there's only one force that can deal with that, and that's the Ghosts.
Now, you mentioned open world.
Yep.
We got in a helicopter and I was blown away. What's the size of this? Comparison to like some of the other Ubisoft
games. It's the largest action adventure open world that we've ever done at Ubisoft. But practically more, I think, rather than talk about specific numbers, more interesting, I think, is the variety that we have within the world. So you've seen one part of it here in the demo. You've seen quite a limited section because we only had so much time with you guys today. But in the game, we've got, just like in real Bolivia, multitude, a variety of different ecosystems. What does that practically mean? It's snowy mountain peaks, it's salt deserts, it's the death road, it's the jungas, it's the swamp plains, it's jungle, and it's everything in between. And so when we talk about the largest action-adventure open world, it's not just more world, but it's also a variety. As you move across it, you're going to see that world change as you travel. You're going to see that reflected in local industry and the way the civilians are behaving along the way. There's mining areas, farming areas, that kind of stuff. But also, the really interesting part, I think, is that it's a gameplay challenge. As you move across, you're not going to play, you just can't play the same in an open desert, open salt plains where you can see your super long view distance. You can see them coming, but they can also see you coming, right?
Right.
Whereas then you move into something like a jungle, a swamp area, it's very close quarters. Suddenly a big armored vehicle maybe doesn't seem so smart. You lose that mobility. So you're going to opt for something else. And so it's, as well as being visually different, which is something we like, it's a beautiful world we've managed to create, it's also going to challenge and influence your gameplay every step of the way.
Well, I was trying out the bike.
Yep.
What other type of vehicles we could see? I know there's a helicopter, too.
There's a helicopter. So, in fact, across the whole game, we've got about 60-plus vehicles.
Nice.
And so we've got a couple of different helicopters. We've got planes. We've got bikes, buggies, jeeps, armored vehicles, farm vehicles, mining vehicles, boats. It's everything. Everything in between. Mm-hmm. And so if you can see it, you can take it, you can drive it. There's nothing that's off limits. Mm-hmm. So if you want, you can take a tractor and assault somewhere. It doesn't make sense, but you can do it if you want.
So the location in Bolivia, this is a real location? Or this is...
So, yes. So the Bolivia, obviously, it's a real place. It's a beautiful place. It's culturally very rich, but it's also, we got that huge environmental variety, which is a big part of us choosing this place. But the place is real. The situation we have isn't real, right? This is the part of that Tom Clancy identity, which is, let's take a real-world situation where, of course, the coca leaf is everywhere in Bolivia, but it's there because they use it for treating altitude sickness and energy drinks and all. It's part of their daily life, part of their daily culture. But we also know that the drug cartels are on the rise, especially the Mexican drug cartels. They're in the news. You're seeing them more and more. In popular culture, but also it's a real thing. These guys are growing in audacity and size and power and reach. And so using the Tom Clancy idea of like, what if? We said, what if these guys took it to the next level and just moved into Bolivia, took over the entire place, turned it into a narco state? What would it look like? What would the reaction of the world be? In this case, it's the Ghosts.
Okay. Now, talk to me about the sandbox, because as I'm playing through it, that's what really got me, because I was seeing the potential of the what if.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the NPC AI, how that's going to work, and also just the challenge of being able to do whatever you want and tackle any objective you want.
Right. So in terms of AI, without going into too much detail, what we've tried to build is a plausible, realistic open world. We sent a team to Bolivia to study the local culture, architecture, but to meet with local geopolitical leaders, journalists, but even botanists and cultural leaders, journalists. And we learned from those guys. We brought that back with us. We keep in contact with them. So it's to try to bring the world to kind of plausible state. That's for the regular Bolivian people. Then you have the cartels, you have the other factions that exist in the world. These guys are on day-night cycles, so they've got schedules in the day and the night, obviously. So if you arrive at different times, you're going to see them eating, you're going to see them hanging out, you're going to see them maybe playing cards with each other. They're going to be on patrol. They're doing different things, but it's not because the player's there that they're watching that this is happening. These are happening irrespective of the player interaction. And you can use those schedules to your advantage. You can look, identify, start to know your enemy a little bit more, know their habits, know what is coming in and out of camps. Maybe you use that to your advantage. Maybe you see that the shipment's coming at a certain time, certain day of the week. Hijack that shipment and use it to drive into the middle of the camp undetected. Yeah. And that's a really important part, is to link into the second part of what you were saying, is the freedom of choice, right? So we have this sandbox. We have a high-level goal, which is to take down the Santa Blanca. You're there for El Sueño, the leader of the Santa Blanca. In order to reach him, you're going to have to go after his lieutenants and his sub-lieutenants. But realistically, we give you kind of longer-term goals, like find this guy, extract him, bring him back to a rally point. But this is, you're talking about a really long, in some cases, set of missions that's going to take you to that point. You need to find out where he is. You need to find out good ways to get in. But we don't handhold, we don't pinpoint, say, okay, drive to this point, take out the guards, then disable the alarms, then do this, then do that, or wait till nighttime. It's completely up to you. We just say, get this guy to the rally point, and then leave it up to you. So you say, okay, in fact, if I look at this situation, there's a ton of guards, they've got high walls, it's going to be difficult approach. Maybe I wait for nighttime. Maybe I base jump in, drop in the middle of the camp, use the low light to my advantage. Maybe instead I want to go in guns hot. Instead of base jumping out at nighttime, maybe I'm going to attach a bunch of C4 to the outside of it. When I jump out, I wait for the helicopter just about before it hits. I blow the C4, massive explosion, use the alarm, use the commotion to get in, do what I need to do and get out. Again, it's the whole point, the biggest thing, the biggest win for us this time was being able to put that freedom of choice, just play how you want, when you want, where you want, completely in the hands of the player. So there's no wrong way to do it, right? So if you're more of a long-range player, you like to really look and take your time and identify and play it very, very stealthily, go for it. That's not a problem. If you want to just say, you know what, I feel like going in hot, I'm going to take off the suppressors, we're going to go high explosives, we're going to do everything big, I just want to see stuff burn. I just want to, you know, I want everything to blow up. Yeah. Then go for it. There's no wrong way to do it. And that's the real joy for us. And the fact that you can do that with your friends, the fact that you can jump in and out of each other's sessions, that's the biggest win for us.
Now, on that point that you bring up, jumping in out of sessions of the four-player co-op, just to clarify, so I can start the game solo.
Yep.
Danny can jump in anytime he wants and help me on my missions.
Yes.
Now, is Danny's progression also tracked?
Absolutely.
In my co-op mission, or does he have to start over?
The simplest way, without going into too much fine detail right now, the simplest way to say is that you as a player are always playing Ghost Recon Wildlands, right? So whether you're playing yourself or with friends, you're always progressing. You have your own player progression, your own personal progression, and then you have your narrative progression, which is happening all the time with everything you're completing. So do your friends. So as they jump in and out, if they've got advanced weapons and, you know, the tools are really kitted out, they've got beautiful guns with all the attachments and lots of camo options, they're going to bring those with them into the session because it's their game. They're joining together with you.
Right.
They'll be able to do missions with you. You'll be able to play everything together. We have a special narrative merge system that means you're never giving up on anything when you're playing with friends. You don't lose anything for playing, but you also don't lose anything when you move apart, because we know exactly what you're talking about. I started playing and maybe my friends weren't, they didn't have the game the first night, or I different schedules from those guys. Mm-hmm. I want to play. Go ahead, play. People can jump in and out at any time. They don't lose their progression. You don't lose yours. They're not going to auto-complete missions. Maybe if you were ahead of him, for example, you're not going to auto-complete stuff for him just because he jumps in your game. He's going to retain his progression. And it's something that was a big challenge for us, but because we knew we wanted to do this from the start, we've designed all our systems around it. So we allow that if you're solo, you're still going to play with three AI teammates, so it's always the squad which helps us. But you're going to need that support, right? If you've seen it, it's a very dangerous open world. It doesn't make sense to play that by yourself. As friends come in, we're going to swap in for those AI. We're going to swap in players for those AI. But because it was from the ground up, it's not like a late feature. We thought it would be cool if we designed the game from the start from to be able to support like this. So all our systems are built to support that.
Now, if I pick any missions I want in the open world, how I know which one is going to be like more difficult than others? Is it based on the decision I make with my team?
So what we have is largely the... Narratively, we've split our missions across the different aspects of the organization, right? So you've got influence, security, smuggling, and production.
Yeah.
And so we have those as a kind of a structural organization, but then it's also split into provinces in the world. I don't know if you guys got to see the map, but you can kind of zoom out. You can see there's different lieutenants in different areas, and they're dealing with different aspects of those business. As well as discovering information about them, you're going to find that certain provinces, just by their nature, are going to be more difficult. They're going to inherently have more difficult camps, more armored patrols. Because of the boss that's there, some of those bosses are lighter. They're not all heavily armored dudes. Some of them are going to be different. But we are going to indicate that to players, but we don't want to artificially stop you from going somewhere that is, let's say, hard versus an easier one. You go wherever you want, but it's up to you. In a lot of cases, if you're not ready, if you haven't advanced your character and you haven't got that tool set ready, you're probably going to find it pretty difficult.
Okay, final question from me, and we didn't see it in the demo, and I don't know if you're talking about it today or not, but will there be any type of character or weapon progression, like a leveling system?
So this, not going to say too much right now. We will be making a communication on the progression system a little bit later. But definitely we've got a long-term progression plan within the game. So there's lots of ways the player can grow. We want to make sure that everything we do with our progression system, and it's the way we've built it, is to support that freedom of choice that we said earlier. It's not that I started down one path and now I'm like, I can only be a sniper or I can only do this. It's really to support your playstyle. So everything we do, from character to item customization and weapon customization, everything is based around freedom of choice and supporting the way that you want to play.
And finally, when can people expect Ghost Recon Wildlands?
So Ghost Recon Wildlands will be released on March 7th, 2017.
Dominic, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
It.
Thanks a lot, man. Thank you.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up now. We have a lot of content, Paris. We have a lot of stuff coming up. Watch Dogs, hopefully, later this week. We're going to be checking out that game. Watch Dogs 2. And what else? We have a lot of content coming up for Gamertag Radio.
There's a ton of content.
That's a lot.
I would just say, subscribe to the RSS feed and just look for new episodes every day.
Yes. So stay tuned, and until next time, here only at GamerTagRadio.com, live from E3 2016.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.